Bill and Allie have been, and I've been friends with them for 40 years. And aren't they the sweetest people in the world?
Well, they are really fine Americans, you know, and she was the. They don't drink themselves, but they make a lot out of some of it.
There was a time when they didn't do that, if you will.
Oh, I know. It's interesting. They were telling me that they have a custom now in some of their houses where they reserve a couple floors where people don't smoke.
Yeah.
So people can come in. That's not easy.
I gave it up. I never stopped.
5 or 6 years ago, and I feel much better.
You didn't say.
Really?
Yeah. You smoked cigarettes or?
I was a cigarette smoker about 3 times a day.
Boom.
When I gave up, I missed them. I was a hopeless addict.
Never smoked in my life.
Got some coffee.
We need the power.
Coffee is the sanctum.
A little sanctum would do, but I some coffee.
Coffee is the sanctum.
Yes.
I have sanctum, yes. I want some good sanctum.
Yeah. be the argument.
The argument of the prosecution.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
Now,
we don't know what Dean will say on this.
Well, I guess you don't, because he's involved himself.
Yes, this is right.
But he likes it.
We assume the worst. In our thinking, we assume the worst.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Now, we're all prosecutors, Mr. President. And we think that this is not a case, according to our standards, this is not an indictment case against Bob. On the other hand, we'll bear in mind that we have got a group of zealots, particularly in Seymour Glanzer, who is a fiery prosecutor. And these zealots always shoot to the top,
sure.
And they're not always conscientious enough to see whether it's a convicting case or whether it's a...
In other words, they may indict even though they don't think they can make it.
That's it, exactly. So we couldn't exclude the possibility that a prosecutor might pick this up. On the other hand, we don't think it amounts to a criminal case in a practical sense.
In other words, if it goes to a court to deal with it, whoever tries it, you think you might be able to defend it?
That's on the evidence that we now have, yes.
Yes. That's our feeling.
Now,
and
we're just,
you know, we're guessing at this, Mr. President.
Delivered to the rule, was it to the rule?
Yes.
Not
little envelope, which was unopened as far as John was concerned. He was unaware of its contents. And Gray was sent for. I think Dean suggested that Gray be sent for. Am I right about that on the John?
I'm not sure whether it was Dean or not.
These facts have impacted our system in the last few hours.
Either one.
I definitely did not think so.
Anyway, this next meeting, which was almost the next day, it wasn't more than 24 hours after the FBI had been there. And John described how Gray sat over there, and John sat here, he sat here. And Gray and Dean handed Gray his package of papers, which, as I say, for John's purpose, this was sealed. He never saw the content. Gray took it in, but the meeting did not last over 4 minutes. And left. Now, Gray approached John Erlichman and said, I want you to not to mention the fact that I received this paper.
And Gray loved it.
Yes. And John said, well, I can't do that. He said, this was a fact that I saw it. I said, where was it? I've never asked you about that. And Gray said, well, I'm embarrassed because I destroyed it. Now, this is Gray's fault.
Terrible. Wasn't there a solicitation from Gray on the basis that he had testified to the contrary?
I think he had.
And then
I don't think he testified. As I recall, he didn't testify. He told
John left a rather critical response to the request and called him back upon reflection and said, look, I want you to know that I've got to tell the truth. But
John Erlich.
John Erlich.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Gray got it fierce and said, look, I did get it. Sure.
That's
the story. Yeah.
Incidentally, you mentioned.
I guess the only basis Gray could say that it was political stuff and I didn't want to hear it. Pretty sad.
Yeah. You mentioned Peterson. I must give you a sign. I don't trust him myself.
No.
We both have had one experience with him. He divulged this day. What I recall was a confidential conference with him. A very serious matter. To a co-defendant, a potentially co-defendant lawyer, who was ex-Department of Justice lawyer, and when we paid off over the weekend, and told him the whole of our business, everybody. And I got it back from the lawyers in Philadelphia who heard something from the Dolphins, in fact, the next day. And I'm always alert to Peterson dealing with ex-employees of the Department of Justice out here.
I've got to talk to him now.
I know you do, but I don't go around the line.
I know. I understand.
But he's on my list of attorney guys. Now, the second phase of John Erdman was the idea of raising money.
Which he was approaching.
Yeah. And this was not to come out of the 350. No. This was to get
money. He didn't know the truth.
Come back. Well, I think he knew about the truth. No, he wasn't a privy to the...
Well, I managed it. What? His deal.
That's right. Yeah. Right. But he did get that.
He raised the money and he sent it. And Dean says, can I talk to Tom back?
Yeah, yes. And Tom back went out and did raise money. Now, for these matters involving John, alarm us even less, if I can make a comparison, than Bob did.
Why?
I don't see.
You mean an individual? He says they come to him and they say, look here, I want to raise some money and come by here. He says, yes, okay. You mean that doesn't make him guilty or something?
Well, let's go back to the accessory after the fact idea that this gets even removed further than the release of the money from the so-called White House fund to be used for that purpose. Now, this comparison, this contrast is not going to be taken as making any great division between Holman and Paul.
Thanks for seems to me the moment you come out with that, they kill them.
Yes.
Or dead. Okay. I never heard of that procedure before, but I may be rather valuable about the law.
Let me answer that one first, because that's more brief. In conspiracy indictments, very frequently, they will name express defendants as conspirators, and they will name co-conspirators by name, as well as other people to the grand jury unknown, but will not indict them. And that's the group that is characterized as a non-indicted. It isn't, the word is not unindicted, non-indictable. It's non-indicted.
Which means that they were indicted publicly.
Well, they certainly are. They certainly are. And that usually, from that group, they find witnesses who will testify against the defendants. Now, that's what that phrase is. It's commonplace in the law of conspiracy. And I've seen it, I've been privy to it as a prosecutor myself.
Yeah.
I'm sure Frank has too. So that it is a, it's a black mark. It might be compared to the three of number of intent that people think, I'm
getting wrong. Well, for Bob and John, they put them on that list of kill
them.
I mean, it may not make them kill them legally, but they have killed them naturally. They probably
now, as to our visit with these gentlemen this afternoon, we spoke to contact Lance at first, whom we both know very well. And he was said to be not available. He asked for Silver, whom I had met on one occasion. Frank didn't know at all.
They don't know Silver, yeah.
And we made the engagement for 4:30, and they said that this was put through management. And that they were going to be before the grand jury, and that they were very busy, and they couldn't give us for an hour. Coming at 4:30. So we came in. I'm telling you, just to show you the beauty of it. We were taken into the room at the conference at 5:35, and we stayed in the parking lot. I began the presentation by saying that we were there representing all of our members. And I had a pretty feeling, and I think Frank will corroborate. Now, you weren't there for the first time. I think he is surprised. I think it was a mixture.
Plaster?
Yes. He was alone with me until a subordinate named Campbell came in. And then eventually, Silver. But his surprise to me, I felt, was that in a certain sense he was surprised that Alderman and Ehrlichman had engaged him. This gave me a little courage as to whether he thought they should have engaged him. And I'll tell you why in a couple of minutes. Secondly, he suspected that we were down there possibly representing John Mason. And I said, that isn't so, before. And he said, well, these people, these prospective people have been switching camps. And he said, I would ensure that the individual was going to keep his counsel. And I said, who was his counsel? So he said, defendant. Now, somebody said this was wrong. I don't know. But anyway, I said, now, Seymour, I said, you know, I've heard you tell me before, and I said, I will always practice this when my client would be kicked around at the courthouse. They do it for the district. Ask as many questions as you can. Get as many answers as you can. I don't come away with many answers. But I get some information each time. And I said, I ask you pertinent questions, and I'm not offended that you say you can't answer. Now, this is the way you talk. And we thought he was a little tight today because he was the president of his security. We found him more this time than there may be on occasion to be able to get him alone. And I said, and what have you got planned for these people? Are you going to have him on the grand jury? He said, we have him in an office here at Newport, which will not be recorded. And we will take no notes. want to know what they will say before we take them before the grand jury, if we do. And
Peterson had told me they were both going to be called to the grand jury.
Well, this is quite possible, even from what I'm telling you.
I'm just curious.
Silver arrived about this time, and I repeated everything that had transpired. Doctor's words to what had transpired in my thoughts before he came to the room. And he qualified Glanzer by saying, well, I think we're going to have to consult the Department of Justice about the interview. This wasn't an interview with the grand jury, I don't think. This was an interview at all. Did you get that impression? So, he said to me, said to us, Silver did, we see from the papers that Oikland is conducting investigations into innocent witnesses. I said, we'd like to have his notes on that. And I said, has it? He said, it's all the papers. It's true. And there are early American censors. I said, well, I don't know. I said, I'm not giving you any answer about what he did. Not what I was going to ask. What have you been getting from the other? He said, no, nobody's giving us any cooperation. The way of documents. And then Silver said, you know, he said, this is military against the man who doesn't need cooperation. Stop crying, I'm laughing. And he said, well, if you come up to the heart of it, proceed. And then he said, Lanza came to his rescue and said, look, could we put it wildly wrong to this whole thing you just said? He said, well, this contract is not. I'm sorry. I said, it is. I got a lot of this trap. I want it set down to you. So I was kind of so bad. So. Now, then we got into, they volunteered just by interesting comments. They volunteered these leaks from the grand jury. Were irritating the hell out of it. And I said,
to put it on themselves.
Well, I do too. They put it on the corporate for it. I said,
bullshit.
I said,
corporate for it.
Why, you know, he says Anderson's getting it right from the corporate for it. Well, I said, Byron, I said, what do you bring the corporate for it back the next day for? I said, this is a crime in itself.
Oh, that's a very bad thing.
Yeah. And then we didn't take it seriously. Now, General inquiries. Oh, I said, how are you proceeding? Are you proceeding with packages? Have you done a forerunner of some indictments? Have you done a package of other people? A second set of indictments? Can't answer. And so I said, well, do we understand? Do we need, I didn't notice I was staying any longer, do we need to be able to be assurance that you will communicate with us? Communicate with us. And whatever you're going to do in the way of interviewing a grand jury. So we had it pretty well committed there. The Department committee, the interview would come first.
Yeah.
And we left there with a commitment on them, I think. A commitment for what it's worth from the district attorney. It's not as worth as much as it used to be. Posting with his, and with some of his weaknesses. Is that right?
Oh, yes, of course.
perhaps he tells you startling truths of his weakness. But we couldn't go about it any other way today. That was so depressed this sort of thing like we can happen in on things. But in the future, sometimes his office is pretty there in the morning.
Do you think he'll go back then?
Oh, I think so. I've been down to Fort Dallas a few old coffee. But the Hunter was before the grand jury was set.
Yeah.
And his lawyer was in two rooms where we would be.
What happened? Of course, nobody knows what happened.
No, and they apparently they, nobody got the best of the gift of because they seemed to have the hustle now the back door. I ran into a photographer down there and said, did you get a picture of him? He said, no, they slipped him out of the back door. So that's where that stood. Now, Mr. President, Frank and I have these conclusions. If I may get to the conclusion,
Frank,
you have any questions before then?
No, I want to hear them, and I'll ask some questions. You know what my questions are.
We think that you and these two men
let me say, and my good friend Len Garman, some others think that Dean out there is the loose cannon.
Yeah,
correct. All that sort of thing. And I think obviously what has happened, and I think the plans are sort of trap are getting Frank with Dean and setting the law in order to get home.
Right.
Dean is scared. Being capable of doing that. I agree with that. They all have an intentional building. Of course, that's getting out of there. Nobody is going to grab one of those. Now, that's one point.
Let me say this. I know that Frank wants to support me. So
right.
I left that meeting today. I had a feeling that here again, it's only my gut. I have a feeling that these two men, Eric Hunter and Paul, are really not in the first line of fire.
Then what Peterson sort of did with Dean there, he came to sit here last Sunday and said, Paul and Eric are in time. So what do you think of here? Non-corroborated testimony. It's pretty generalized. Whereas, you know, this going out of this but my point is, we have very great pressure to be more quite candid about this and say that Paul and Earl destroyed the public. And this is a side of a thousand cuts. I have two questions that I really have. This one, I don't want to do anything. Going to be on anyway. I didn't want to delay it or jeopardize their case. I don't want these men to be on with it, but I know they're innocent. I would like to know.
I'm very much impressed.
The second one, however, I have to think of the president. I thank you for that. And if you can prove that the best thing to do is to call up the step forward and say, you know, I'm guilty of having an effect of the. They released the grand jury notes, I've been attacking the press, I've been all this, I think I'm observing that to the outside of this office, including on both of those.
Yes.
One with regard to the men, as to their whether it affects their entity notes, and two with regard to the president.
Yes.
You thought of both of those.
We have.
All right. What is the president's conclusion?
Well, these are related items. And in the area of presidential judgment, you have such losses that people don't think that way. Well, I think that either a suspension, which I understood this was proposed by Peterson on the basis that the suspension or even the resignation is no assurance that they will not be indicted.
I asked Peterson that today. He said it was not.
There's no assurance.
That's right.
Yeah. Now,
frankly, I said, now look here, Jonathan. They resigned. Does that mean that the straight,
yeah,
put it straight to him?
Now, then I get
if I thought for the resignation would avoid an indictment, I'd have to resign.
Yes.
All right.
Now, I just passed on your area of judgment when I say, I think that if they resign or are suspended, that this is a reflection of the sentence.
What if they don't resign or suspended and then are indicted? That's all.
Well, yes, but if you already announced you would suspend them then.
That's true.
Anybody
who was indicted would be suspended. Anybody who's
indicted would resign. Is there, except for their own dilemmas, is there any difference between, let's say, by the way, you know, I don't have to say, they're willing to do.
Oh, I absolutely.
Yes. And yet, on the other hand, they are willing to stand up to this thing.
Oh, yes.
If it doesn't hurt you.
Yep.
And that's the reason I look at these two things in a kind of a mess that you're discussing.
Right.
In a gorgeous way. I think that if they resign or are suspended, then it reflects on you. I think if they are indicted and you suspend them, or they resign upon indictment, I imagine that they wouldn't even expect you to.
Or they're even included in this list of co-conspirators.
Yes. So. I just don't think there's
going to be
a difference. I really don't.
For you, Vincent.
This is my feeling. I feel that the resignation now by these two gentlemen will be a tremendous question on the president. And it can be conceptual. Because the public statement says at the moment from Senator Irvin and other sources is there's no evidence to tie them into a criminal situation. Now, if they step out at this point in time, there is going to be a public feeling that this is an admission of guilt, and this is going to flow over from them right to the presidency. And I have a very strong feeling that this is not one that I don't want to say you shouldn't run from. It's not running from it, but it's facing up to it, the way I feel.
Right. Now, on the other hand, you would say that you would lean in the direction of taking the risk, which there would be, that he may be any of his so-called co-conspirators, if they are. That we just have to live.
That's it. As a matter of fact, as I see it, Mr. President, and I hope this time schedule works out, it's possible that if these gentlemen submit to this informal interview, and we haven't decided that question yet, but I think that they're leaning toward doing it. I think they're leaning toward having it, because they knew we were going to be present at the interview. And I told them, I said, we don't sit silent these interviews. We're not dispatching. We cover for our client. And if the question is unfair, we get to the end. And,
absolutely.
Oh, yes, this is not a thing where we're throwing the sheep to the wolves. And so I think they are willing to take that advice if we give that advice.
I wonder if you could get that interview soon, anyway, or if you could get that timing somewhere.
I think that
or maybe you don't want to.
This was a little cat in the car that I had with it. No, the concern with me is that frequently the man who's being talked about seeks the interview or seeks to go before the grand jury, when they held before the law jury, going before the grand jury. In there alone with no counsel, and the prosecutor's been in there for months, and he controls the grand jury, and this is a slaughter of the rule. And I said on the other point that whether we would ask myself what the movie said, you think it's come, something like that. But I have said, Frank, if you don't agree with this, please tell us.
No, I, whenever I don't disagree with John, I agree. But I'm not hesitant to disagree.
Oh, yes, he's just, he's an ultimate contact.
True.
And he's always going to be critical whenever he makes eyes on going to stray.
But I mean, in other words, your advice at the present time is stand with these men. Because basically, if you flush them now, it's going to probably hurt, let me put it this way, it'll hurt their case. Let's be put in their case first and then everybody. It will hurt their case, don't you think?
It will the public eye. That's true.
And you think that it, but, and my point is, so take the risk. Going down and letting them be indicted.
Certainly take the risk, hopefully, of the interview.
Oh, the interview, certainly.
Yes.
And then what?
Let's find out what questions they ask and what they appear to have and what they're after. And then reappraise the situation. This man, Mr. President, in my judgment, has to be taking steps.
Don't go too fast.
Yeah, no.
You don't know how much they have and what they can prove.
That's it, exactly.
And you've got to remember, Dean, as I said, is a loose cannon.
I know he is.
Goddamn, this charge, if you ever heard something unbelievable.
Yes.
This fellow that was sitting in here after the office of the president, a very bright young guy, and these guys talked to him and so forth. But he now wants to drag them down with him.
Yes.
They must have told him what I think, have told Dean.
Case, the man pays privilege. gets up and been mentioned. Now, this is devastating. This is a weak link to the prosecutor. If he has to use a witness who got immunity by a claim of the privilege, and that means I don't know if what he's trading with here, whether he's trading with turning him loose on this whole mess, or whether he's trading him loose on himself.
I don't think being a lawyer's shackle. But anyway, I think the lawyers are trying to get him off.
Yeah, on this one case.
Yeah, get him off the whole damn thing.
What we have found in other cases with Lansing is that they don't want to go through the elaborate statutory procedure. They just want to have a moral understanding. You cooperate with us, we'll give you our word.
That's what they told me.
That's their procedure.
He practically gave us this as another case to the double process. Generally, we just want the paper. The prosecutors, you see, let me tell you why we're a little cocky, and maybe this is a bad basis for judgment. But a very positive national justice that is charged with perjury. I wanted to get him to testify against a dubious lawyer. And it was said that Mitchell wanted to get him to testify. And threatened us that I've got a perjury case before the grand jury. We stood him off for 2 years. That case, until finally we got alarmed and we brought our client and we said, Mr. So-and-so, you have to take the chance. We didn't know whether time is running out on you or time is running out on the district attorney. But if you just want to stand where you stood for 2 years and you kept you there for 2 years, it's your risk. We can only judge this as you can judge it by the fact of the crime. He says, the hell with the district attorney. Stand up to it. He has got a perjury. I didn't say anything. What is going on there?
Well, what this was, they were applying screws to get this industrialist to